Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read just beginning in verse 11 into chapter 6, the first three verses of Scripture, just to bring us back into context here as we really continue a lesson I started 2 weeks ago. And if you need a handout sheet, just lift your hand right up and the ushers will see that you received one. Appreciate Pastor Friesen handling the Melchizedek for me. Amen. And so we're going to see how far we'll get in the lesson. We do have a business meeting tonight, and so I told Pastor Friesen I'm going to be done by a certain time. He said that I'll be watching to see if that happens or not. And I look at the clock, and I'm going to be watching to see if that happens or not. All right, let's get into the reading now. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, because of the above, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." So once again, he's talking about the avenue of maturity. And so the Lord's not just interested in a bunch of babies being born just to be left to fend for themselves. Just as we are concerned about babies growing to maturity, the Lord's concerned about his babies going on to maturity. In fact, there's that time where he's all of life, he's conforming us to the image of Christ, and one day we're going to be like Jesus. And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Jesus is no baby. He's definitely not immature, and we're going to be like him. Amen? So he's molding us along the way to mature us, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And 2 weeks ago, we really spent time talking about the doctrine of repentance. And we find here that there are some elementary truths in the Christian life. There are some things that if you've been saved for a while, that you ought to be past. Okay? And so there are some things that you ought to be, you ought to have settled already in your life, and you're moving on into maturity. I mean, like, it would be embarrassing if now at my age I still hadn't learned to tie my shoes. Okay? And let our minds run with that for a while. But at the same time, there are some things that we would take for granted now, and we say, boy, I learned how to do that a long time ago. Well, it's the same thing in the Christian life. And sad to say, we sort of go through the motions, and we zone in and out of our Christian life and experience. And he says, we need to go on. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And then he goes on and explains some more of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Your study sheet number 2, it starts with that. You may have this week's or you may have 2 weeks ago, but we're here on number 2. It says faith towards God. Faith towards God. That's the last phrase there after it talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. Number one, well, let me read A. When you turn from dead works to God, it is a matter of changing what or whom you trust. And that's so critical to understand. You know, you're not going to have, as far as every jot and tittle of your life, going to be straight as an arrow the moment you trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's not what saving faith does. But what you do when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're essentially repenting in that which you've been trusting to this point to take you to heaven or to take care of you before and after this life. So for some people, it might be a belief system. It might be a denomination. It might be another individual. Those kinds of things, because people are trusting in different things for their eternal well-being. Sometimes it might be some drink that they might have. It might be some family connection. It might be their nationality. I know that there are some Jews that believe that the nation of Israel itself is the Messiah. I worked for a Jewish man that he didn't believe that the Messiah was coming. He felt like the nation of Israel itself was the Messiah. So there's all kinds of belief systems out there. And so when someone trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they need to repent of those things they were trusting in to get them to heaven and to take care of them eternally and then have faith towards God. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. And so number one, Hebrews 11 gives us the definition, the description, and the design of faith. Now I'm going to jump up just a little bit here. Let me go ahead and read point number two, and then I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're probably, when we go through our study and get to chapter 11, we won't spend as much time on this point, but it says here in number two, generally speaking, faith involves knowledge. Understand, God's not going to bypass your mind to get to your heart. And so he wants you to understand the gospel. This is why when you talk to your children or you talk to someone who's gotten saved, it's important for them to know what they're doing. If people don't know what they've done, then how can they really be assured of heaven? You've got to have that wherewithal. You've got to have that knowledge. And so generally speaking, faith involves knowledge, mental assent, and then appropriation. That means where you take it, you apply it to yourself, you apply it to your life. And John chapter 1 and verse 12, it essentially talks about receiving and believing. John chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to read that verse of Scripture. The Bible here says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that word believe means to trust or rely upon. It's not just talking about a head knowledge, but it's the knowledge as well as the appropriation of that knowledge. Okay? And so that's what we mean by receive and believe. And a lot of people have stopped in North America with just the head knowledge. Most people know about Jesus Christ being born in a manger. They know about him dying on the cross. They know, they have the knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection. But many have never appropriated that knowledge as far as faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and to save them. They've not done that. And I'm surprised. Many times I'll talk to people who are churched people, but then when you really begin to talk to them about their salvation, they know everything that you have to tell them, but yet they've never personally applied it to their life. And that's where what we talk about drawing the net, okay? And so, generally speaking, faith involves knowledge, mental assent, and then appropriation. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and this is known as the faith chapter, as you know. But I did want to gloss over this. You know, the more I'm in ministry and the more I'm living my own life, is I'm seeing the need for simplicity. And I'm seeing the need to getting back to basics. And to make sure that before we go on to one thing, that we fully understand the thing we're on right now. And when we talk about faith, it's one of those words that we just toss around just because it's a church word to toss around. And yet there's so many aspects of our life that I don't think that we really have faith in. As far as faith in the Lord, that the Lord's going to take care of them. We may have saving faith settled, but then how about the sustaining faith that takes to live the Christian life? And so this chapter here really, I think, brings it all into perspective for us. And I have a message that I preach quite frequently when I'm out of town because I feel like maybe this is an area. I think we Christians are weak in the area of faith as well as the Spirit-filled life. And so there are two messages that I preach when I travel quite a bit, and if the Lord lays it on my heart, that I'll preach. Now, I didn't preach this one when I was out of town, but that surprised me because normally I would preach from Hebrews chapter 11. Because to me, this is such an exciting chapter as far as the Christian life is concerned. And if for no other reason, I keep needing it. You know? And so Hebrews chapter 11, we have faith defined for us. And right next to letter A, if you'll write this in your margin there on your study sheet, I have preached a message with this kind of an outline right here at this place. At the same time, you may not have written it down, I would encourage you to do this. And here we find faith defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times when I was growing up and my teachers would have me go in and check this word out and check that word out. And they always tell you that when you're learning to read, if you ever come upon a word that you don't understand, you look it up in the dictionary. And then you can learn. And so I don't know how many times, though, in the course of growing up, I'd turn to the dictionary and read the definition of the word, and I still wouldn't know, after reading the definition, what that word meant. And to be honest with you, it tells us here, now faith is. That is a pretty straight statement, isn't it? Faith is. You want to know what faith is? Here it is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, end of story. Y'all understand faith? I don't understand faith. Not by that definition. Well, Pastor, I thought you said that the Word of God was easy. That you could understand it. You can. Because God goes on to explain it. Because I think He understood that we would trip right here. We have a problem right here because, and I find it interesting that He would take so many verses after He gives us the definition to illustrate this truth. And yet it's because we need it, and it's really where we trip and fall in our Christian life and experience, in the area of our faith. Some of us, we don't doubt our salvation one iota. But to have God take care of us, and can we really trust Him to take care of us in all the other areas of life? Can He really be trusted? Well, yeah, you know, He can keep our soul for all eternity. He can spare us from hell, but He can't meet our bills. He can't take care of our problems. He can't shower us with His grace and mercy. He can't comfort us in our grief. He can. But at the same time, when we talk about faith, this is where we struggle. And what's shocking is the fact that you go back to our passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6. This is an issue we ought to have settled by now. How convicting this is for me as a pastor. Because there are times I encounter situations and I worry myself. I wonder, maybe I have to help God out in this matter. You know how you pray, and then you sit down and you say, okay, I prayed and I'm going to figure it out. You know, we ought to be past some of this stuff. And so we find here that faith is defined in verse 1. Then He describes it for us here in verses 2 to 6. Look what it says. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Remember, He's talking in the Old Testament economy for the nation of Israel. And so these Jewish believers would understand the context that He was writing and be able to make an immediate correlation. He said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, how do you know that He did that? By faith. You don't know otherwise. So how in the world do you go and you argue this point with somebody? You can't. You just have to believe by faith. God did not write His Word to answer all of our questions. He gave us exactly what we needed to know. We don't. If our question cannot be answered, then it's the question we don't need to be asking. And sometimes we get all hung up about what the Bible hasn't addressed, and we forget what it has addressed. And He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And He's talking about here in this passage, this verse of Scripture, about the matter of salvation. And that, of course, takes us to chapter 6, verse 1 of Hebrews. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now notice, it says, he obtained witness. The fact that he brought the acceptable sacrifice was witness to the belief in his heart. That's why when you get to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, his faith made him whole. It wasn't the act that made him whole. It wasn't his effort. It wasn't his work. His work was in response to his belief, his faith. And then it says, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now look at verse 6. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. There's never a time in our life where we can be without faith in God. So many times I'm convinced that I go through what I go through because it brings me back to dependence upon God. Because in my flesh, pride rises up and I want to do it myself. Mankind wants to save himself. That was Cain's problem. And God in his mercy said, Cain, you go back and you get the acceptable sacrifice, and then you come back here and everything will be all right. That's mercy. He didn't write Cain off right at the start. He says, go back and get the right one. Come back. Otherwise, sin lieth at the door. Cain said, you're not going to tell me what to do. I work for this. You either take my effort, my work, or you don't take it. God said, I can't take it. And so here it says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means after I get saved, I need to continue to trust him. And that's what we see evident here. Now look what it says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's our problem. We don't diligently seek him. We want him to come around. We want him to show up, as the old country preachers would say. Boy, it's great when God shows up. But he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that takes you back all the way to Proverbs, doesn't it? In chapters 2 and 3, where it says that we're to search for wisdom as we would for hidden treasure. Some of us could be a whole lot wiser in the things of the Lord if we would search for wisdom as we would for hidden treasure. So that's faith described. Then I like he gets even more in detail, and this is what I want to spend just a few minutes on tonight. And quite obviously, we're not going to get very far. So please, because we want to be green around here and save paper and ink, bring your study sheet, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, because next week we don't have church on a Wednesday night. We have our missions conference starting. So we'll need you to come back then too. Amen? Unless Jesus comes, then we won't worry about it. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 7, we have it detailed for us. Faith is detailed. Now, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, folks, this is where we get into trouble, I think, is we read a chapter like this and we say, oh, no, that's right, he built the ark. And, oh, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Yeah, I remember that's Genesis chapter 12. Well, I remember that story. But I think what we fail to do is we fail to put ourselves in those spots. And it says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Then you have to go back and say, okay, this faith in God, what does that mean? It means he can be trusted. Even in regards to those things that have yet to happen in your life. Those fears you may have that come upon you from time to time. Stop and think about Noah. Put yourself in his spot. God comes to him and says, you know, I'm just grieved at the sinfulness of man. The thoughts and the imagination of his heart is only evil continually. I'm going to give man 120 years, and then I'm going to destroy this earth. And so he gives Noah the plans to build a boat. Now understand, it never rained before on the earth. Stop and think about it. It rains. It rains. We had snow this afternoon. If it hadn't been cold, it would have rained today. But it never rained in this time. And so here God comes and says, I'm going to destroy this earth by flood. I mean, comprehend this. And he gets up for 120 years and preaches the judgment of Almighty God. And asks those people to repent, preaches for those people to repent, commands those people to repent. And day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, no results. His neighbors never got saved. Those people that walked by never got saved. The ones he had to buy stuff from, get materials from, never got saved. And yet he preached. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, he was faithful and had zippo results. Now let me ask you this question. Would we stay faithful if we had zippo results? Oh man, we may knock on doors a few times, and if we don't have the results, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be embarrassed like that. Noah. He believed God. Do we believe God this way? How many times do we look in the Bible and say, yeah, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. I should do this, I should do that. But, you know, do we trust him? I mean, stop with it. Noah, 120 years. Then you go into verse 8 with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we find that God comes to him and says, I want you to leave your land, the land of your birth. I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where that land was. At least when God seems to impress us to go to a place like a mission field, we feel impressed to go to a particular place. God calls someone to Mexico. God calls someone to Africa. God calls someone to Asia. Abraham, I want you to pick up and just set out, and I'll show you once you're on the trail. Now, what would happen in your home if the head of your home would come home and say, God wants us to leave? And everybody said, okay, where are we going? I don't know. God's going to show us. But we're packing tonight. We're leaving tomorrow. That's real life. You say, but how far are we going to go? Probably a long, long way. We probably will never see Winkler again. Never see Winkler again. Okay? You'd probably never be able to have another family gathering with all your relatives again. And folks, they didn't have Pony Express and they didn't have internet. They had nothing like that to stay in touch. But they simply said, God told us, and we're going to trust him. Abraham. Just as human as you and me. Just as much a sinner as you and me. In fact, I happen to have probably more respect for the Old Testament saints than I do the New Testament saints. Simply because we have the completed canon of Scripture that they didn't have. And you said, well, man, God talked directly to them. Yeah, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Because I sometimes forget exactly how somebody said something to me. But here, we can go back time and time again and say, this is exactly what he said to me. By faith. We're not to Abraham at this point. You see, we need to understand, these folks already believe God. So saving faith is one thing. How about living faith? We need to go on to maturity. Can we trust in God for these various areas? And I could go on, and I probably will when we pick back up again. But the fact of the matter is, we need to reevaluate our faith and realize that there needs to be that continual, I believe, asking, what am I doing in my life that's by faith? What am I doing in my life that's by sight? In 2 Corinthians, it talks about, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And yet, how many of us are really exercising faith? Churches hardly ever walk by faith anymore. We operate by budget. And you know how unsettling it is when we maybe want to do something that we can't really see how all the dollars and cents are going to work out. Then we say, let's not be rash, let's be reasonable. But sometimes when you look through the eyes of humanity, what God asks us to do is very unreasonable. It was not reasonable for Noah to build the ark. It wasn't reasonable for Abraham to leave his land. It wasn't reasonable, after the manner of woman that ceased to be with Sarah, that she would give birth to a child at about age 90. Yeah, it wasn't reasonable, but yet God said it will happen. And my friend, it happened. And when he says some things, it's going to take place. And when he says he's going to take care of you, he will take care of you. And he may bring you right to the brink at the edge of the cliff. And all you have to do is just keep your hand in his hand. Amen. No, you don't. Because when you got saved, you were placed in his hand. And that's all you need to do. Just rest in his hand. You know, sometimes a dad, you know, you hold the hand of the child sometimes wants to, you know, get out of it. Dad just squeezes a little bit tighter and hangs on. That's what our God does. He says, you're not getting out of this. I've got you. I'm going to take care of you. Well, how are you going to do it? The fact of the matter is, I don't need to know how God's going to do it. I just need to know he's going to do it. And as a child simply says, I'm going to trust in Dad and Mom, then I need to say to my Heavenly Father, I'm just going to trust you. Amen?